Welcome in to Other People's Shoes. As you know, I am your host, Neil Matthews. Super excited that you have decided to take the journey of today's episode with me today. I am really excited. It is July. It's hard to believe we're already saying July, but here we are. We're in July. So with that means only inevitably September is on the horizon. I know kids are already saying, you're saying the S word. I need the little beep, like beep. Here's where I need your help as a listener. Help me out here. I am looking for the next guests. That's right, plural, guests. I'm looking for the next guest. So maybe that's you. If you're listening right now or you know someone, maybe it's somebody that you play, I don't know, the game Hand and Foot, that card game with. Maybe you're playing cards with them all the time. Or maybe it's somebody you like to play basketball with. Or maybe it's that running buddy. Or maybe it's that workout guy at the gym that you just think, man, that guy has a story, I'm sure. I want to know them. I want to meet them. I want to be introduced to them. So if you could help me out with that, I would just be forever grateful. So how you can do that? Two easy ways. One, you can jump over to our website, opspodcast.com. Jump there right after the show and you can send me some information on somebody that you might know. Second way you can do it, if you don't want to write things down, which I get, I'm not a big writer of things down. I know that's not very good English, but there it is. You can also leave a voicemail straight from the website as well. Super easy, two ways to do that. And of course, you can also reach out to us on social media at OPS Podcast Show under Instagram, Facebook, and the Twitter. So without further ado, Lucas, you know what to do.
Hey, come take a walk with me, not like you used to do, something different. Put yourself in other people's shoes, open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction, change your perspective.
Welcome in to Other People's Shoes. You know that I am your host, Neil Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think we can officially cross off another state today, so I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to get into that just momentarily, but help me welcome to the stage. Ooh, is it a stage? Is life a stage? Are we all on the stage in some form, shape, or fashion? Well, this next guest today is not only a great friend of mine, but she truly is a great mentor in my life and has stepped into a role that I'm pretty proud of. Like, if I were to get, like, the Citizen of the Month bumper sticker, I feel like I would get one maybe from her. Like, I successfully survived Mary Snyder's coaching sessions. Help me welcome her in. I believe, she can correct us, but I believe from the great state of Alabama, Mary Snyder.
That is absolutely correct. And we don't say it like that. It's Alabama. So if you're going to say it right, or just Bama, you know, it's all good. But Neil, I'm actually from two states. So I was born in California, but I lived in Alabama for most of my life. So, you know, in case you need an additional Californian, but you probably already had one of those. So.
I have plenty from California, like 8-ish, 10-ish. Oregon is the dominant state, obviously, because that's where I live. And so it's easy to find people from that. But that's awesome, Mary, that you are from Alabama. Now, can we know approximately like where at in Alabama, or is that still the secret Mary Snyder bunker location?
No, there's no bunker. I'm actually in a very small town. And when people ask me where I live, I say Blount County. For all of you people that don't live in rural areas, if anybody ever announces they're from a county, that is indicative. There is no city large enough that you have ever heard of it. But I am from a city called Rimlap. It's not even a city, it's a town. And Rimlap is Palmer spelled backwards. There you go. That's a lot. You didn't expect all that, did you?
I didn't. But, you know, when you're talking about counties, especially from the South, like I always think of Hazard County, right? The old Dukes of Hazard, you know, TV show that was made famous, I think, 70s. I may be wrong on that. Somebody can fact check me. But yeah, I think we never knew where they were from exactly, but they were from Hazard County, to your point. Right. So yeah, that's fun stuff. So speaking of where you're from, Mary, if I'm going to switch up my order a little bit, but if we were going to come out and visit you out in Alabama, did I say that right? Or Bama? Would I have to wear a University of Alabama t-shirt with that stinking stupid elephant on the front of it? Would I have to? And what would we go and do and hang out together?
Well, first of all, you do not have to wear the stinking elephant. You could wear the stupid tiger, but you don't have to wear either one. It is not a requirement. It is a it is preferred that you declare when you live in the state, but it's not required. One of my neighbors has a Razorback on their mailbox. We don't even understand that person. There's a prayer group over that house. We don't understand him, but you know, I mean, he's from Arizona. Isn't that right? Isn't that the Razorbacks or Arkansas?
It's Arkansas. Somebody. Let me help you with that. That's Arkansas. Well, I mean, I'm dying off mic because I'm like, oh my gosh.
They're flipping pigs. Funny. You have a pig for, I mean, it's a pig. It's a pig. Not as bad as the Oregon Ducks, but we won't go there. So what would we do? First of all, you don't have to wear the shirt. If you come during hunting season, you could actually, and we hunt everything. So you could wear camo and you could choose to wear camo as a fashion accessory. And what would we do? We've got a lot of stuff here. We would go to the Barber Motorcycle Museum. It is the most amazing, massive museum of all kind of old motorcycles. I know that sounds fun, doesn't it? Then we would go to Saul's Barbecue and eat the best barbecue. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't like barbecue, but this is the best barbecue, turnip greens and grits you've ever had.
I've never had turnip greens. I think I've had grits because my grandmother was from Arkansas. Speaking of Arkansas, she was from Little Star, Arkansas or something like that. I don't know.
That's precious.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've never been to Alabama. My wife, so this is going to cost me some money. My wife, every time I mention my wife, I feel like I need to pay her for royalties for the story.
You should.
Yeah, but her dad was stationed, and her mom and dad and brother were stationed in Fort Rucker. You know that area at all?
Yeah, just okay, north of me. Mm-hmm.
So they were down there for quite a while, and then he went to Germany and then Gulf War and all that stuff. So they were in Alabama for a while. My wife has some Alabama roots to her.
She's a good woman. Well, and I'm going to let you and your listeners in on a little secret. Don't tell anybody.
We'll keep it a secret.
Right here. Inside baseball. Best beaches in the lower 48 are in Alabama. And most people don't realize that. And I can prove it because I took a group of coworkers. I didn't take them personally. We went on a business trip and we stayed down at an Alabama beach on the Gulf in Gulf Shores. And they agreed with me. Because they're sugar white sand beaches. So there you go. If you need a great beach location.
I almost want you to maybe put that in a FedEx box and send me just like a Ziploc baggie of that. I love beaches.
Yes.
Which I don't love sand. Is that weird? Like to love a beach but not love the sand?
I don't know. I don't like
sand either.
I don't
know how that works.
Yeah. I don't like sand either, but I love the beach.
Yeah. All right. Fun stuff. All right. So Mary, so back to our original question that I always like to lead off with, but we were so geographically having fun with that. I felt like we just need to keep running with that. But speaking of being on the sand and being on, you know, beaches and all that, are you wearing shoes while you're on those sandy beaches or are you, help me with that. Like what style of shoe does Mary Snyder like to wear if she's not on the beach?
Well, she doesn't wear shoes on the beach because then they get in your shoes and that's gross. But what kind of shoes do I like to wear? I'm going to be honest with you. I have two models. I am a booty in the winter, preferably in some sort of animal print. I love a good animal print. And I am a sandal in the summer and I want a between the toe. I need it between the toe with an ankle strap, slot heel. I'm a little high maintenance and I know it. A bedazzle never hurts a sandal. Never hurts a sandal with a bedazzle.
I love that. Never hurts a sandal when it's bedazzled. That's some good stuff. Yeah, you can't.
Never hurts it.
I feel like that's
the quote
tweetable.
Right there.
Hashtag, yeah, bedazzled. So Mary, getting into this, as I said at the onset, is kind of your introduction. We met through a crazy series of events of circumstances through podcast groups and things like that that you were part of. And then I feel like you kind of, you know, took flight as this amazing butterfly away from some of that, but learn some stuff from that. But I also think you have this amazing story, and I think I know, maybe not all of it, but you have this amazing ability to help people get unstuck. And for you, do you have kind of that stuck moment, that kind of Cinderella moment where, you know, your life was forever changed, maybe not necessarily the glass slipper per se, but was there a moment that you kind of got free from your stuck moment? And if so, what was that?
Oh, Neil, I was sitting in traffic in Franklin, Tennessee, headed to a big work thing. And this was all, and I work with Christian artists and speakers. So this was a big picnic. It was at a well-known person's big ranch, farm, whatever. They call it a farm. I call it a ranch. And I get a phone call. I had gone in. I'd been having some like weird dizziness. I had gone in. They were just did an MRI to rule out anything. No worries. I get a phone call and this is what is on the other end. Hey, Ms. Snyder, we've diagnosed you with an aneurysm. we need to see you first thing tomorrow to discuss surgery options. I didn't know what to do. It was the moment that I just was like, what? So for the next 4 weeks before surgery, it took that long to get all the diagnoses done. I had an aneurysm that was in the centimeters. And when I told my sister, who was a neurology nurse, that it was so many centimeters, she said, you mean millimeters? I said, oh no, millimeters are bigger than centimeters. She corrected me. Apparently centimeters are bigger than millimeters. It was the size of a very large grape, which was what they consider a very large aneurysm. And it had to be removed. And it was right behind my right eye. So there was a lot of other things. But what I did after that diagnosis is I had to go do that event. Couldn't tell anybody. I could have, but I didn't want to. And then I got on a plane a week later and flew to San Jose, California to San Jose, did a big speaking engagement for a big association out there. And then I went and was a coach for a speaker's retreat weekend where I coached a group of speakers. Again, never telling anybody what was going on. When I went into the hospital, I was told, or when I met with the doctor, I was told I had a 10% chance of dying on the table. 25% chance of losing my sight because of where it was sitting. I don't remember any of that. I actually, it's written down in my prayer journal. And my husband knew it, but I don't remember it. And it was after that recovery, and I did recover. Obviously, I'm still here. I now have platinum in my brain. They go in and take the aneurysm out and fill that little area with a platinum, just a glob of platinum. So when I die, I need them to get that out because that's worth a lot, y'all. Don't let that go. Y'all get that out. Go on a trip or something. My first question to my neurologist was, am I going to be able to go through a scanner at the airport? Because I travel a lot. He assured me I would, and I have. But the unstuck moment came when I survived that. And I thought, okay, I didn't survive that just to continue to live life. And I mean, I've loved Jesus since I was a girl. I didn't survive that to continue to live life and be just lukewarm. I survived that so I could do what God called me to do. It was the moment that I thought, okay, we get one chance on this earth. We don't know how long that's going to be for. And everything changed at that moment. And that was 4 years ago. And since then, I've just been living out loud.
I love that. First off, I love the fact that you're still here. That's important to say because you are a fantastic person. And I really, over this last year or so, I really enjoyed getting to know you. You've, you know, not only, as I said, been a great mentor in my life, a coach. You know, I took some coaching sessions from you. I feel like I need a t-shirt or something, Survive Mary Snyder. You know, I really do. I think I'm trying to help you with some marketing. I know you're better at that than I am, but I really think so. I really think
I'm a tough coach. I'm a real tough coach.
You are. You're absolutely a tough coach. But don't let that deter you. If you're hearing this and you're like, man, I want to be coached by Mary. I need a good coach. Where can I? You know, we'll get to that momentarily. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. But you did something amazing for me this last year, and that was, you know, you gave me an opportunity to sit with a guy named Sean Groves that you know very well. And that was kind of like a dream interview for me because I had listened to his song so much. So I never really got a chance to tell you in a public forum, but I do want to say, Mary, thank you so much for that because that was such a fun interview for me. I know you said I fangirled or fanboyed. I think you actually said fangirled.
It's fangirled.
Me. Yeah, that's, I totally fangirled on that episode. But in the end, I really feel like Sean gave a ton of value to what he shared as far as walking through depression and things like that. And so it just was really cool. And so anyway, that was because of you. And I want to thank you again just now that we're sitting together officially. Going back into your story. You said you're sitting in traffic. Now, prior to that, had you ever thought about immortality in any way? Did you ever really think like, oh, you know, I'm going to live forever. It's going to be fine.
Of course. I'm bulletproof. Nobody ever thinks they're going to have an aneurysm. Heck, I could not even spell the word.
Well, I had to Google it.
I thought it was an action. I didn't realize. I thought, you know, people get aneurysms, they die. I mean, it's just boom. I had no idea that it was an aneurysm, essentially a blood cell that is trying to rupture in your brain. It's really the walls of your, of the right now, a medical person's going, man, she doesn't know what she's saying.
We've watched enough ER. Okay. In Grey's Anatomy. We're fine.
We're good. We're good.
And we're totally good.
I really felt like I could do a lot of things, 'cause I had watched enough Grey's Anatomy that I could do like the whole tracheotomy. I mean, you give me a ballpoint pen, I got your trach going. Sharp knife, I got you. They did not do enough episodes on aneurysms.
You should call ABC and tell them that. I'm just saying.
My doctor give me a picture of my aneurysm. I have a picture of it. And I asked if I could wear a GoPro in the surgery. He said no. But y'all, listen, it's the coolest surgery, because they send like this little camera up your vein into your brain. It's the coolest thing. But they wouldn't let me record all of it, strangely enough.
There's probably a liability issue there.
Probably so.
Maybe a HIPAA thing. I don't know. The reason why I ask that, because I think right now, to help our listeners out and to help those that may be in this moment, maybe not the aneurysm moment, but in the moment of being in traffic, they're stuck.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. They might be going an inch at a time. Like, we can all think of that freeway moment, you know, and I think you painted that very well, by the way. You know, we're going a little bit at a time. We look over in the other lane and somebody's going just a little bit faster than we are. And we're like, oh, we have to go jump in that lane and then try to keep pace with them. What is the danger of that for you personally? Have you ever been in that moment where you felt like you needed to jump in that other lane to go 2 feet and then stop again? And if so, what was that like?
Well, of course, we all have. I mean, you look over at somebody else's lane and their lane looks better. They're moving faster. And I have jumped over in their lane and then realize it's not my lane. I don't need to be there. And I really think that's when God, if you listen, and, you know, I've told this story and y'all know this in the beginning, I'm a speaker. I was called to speak 10 years before I ever stepped a foot on a stage. And those were 10 years of training, but it was 10 years of switching a lot of lanes. I'd go try to be like Beth Moore because that seemed to be cool and that's what everybody wanted. Then that didn't fit me. So I try to be like more of a comedian. I try to be like Anita Renfro. Then I'd switch over to this person and that person. It took me 10 years to figure out, and God to teach me, that I have to stay in my lane, no matter if it's moving fast or slow. It's my lane. And that's the thing the aneurysm taught me too, is that this is the life I've been given. I have to lean into the opportunities that I have in my past and that I have in the future, and not look at what everybody else is doing around me. We live in such a culture of they have more followers, more likes, more this, more that. Don't compare your day five with their day 500. And I think that's what we get in trouble for.
So there's this road in our town called Biddle.
Hmm.
And every day I would drive this road to go to work. And there's this sign, and I don't know why it's there. I really would love to find one of our city planners who, you know, are in charge of putting up the signs and things like that. But I would really love to find this person, because it's a white sign. So it indicates like it's a traffic sign. So like, pay attention to it, right? And it says, stay in your lane. I promise you, it is the only sign I've seen in our town that says stay in your lane. And I'm like driving that every day. And I'm like, that reminder to me to stay in my lane. Now, we're fortunate enough, a couple of years back, my wife and I purchased our first new car together in almost 20 years of marriage. That came, of course, with a car payment. I'm embarrassed to say that. Sorry, Dave Ramsey, you now have unsubscribed from my show, but I'm serious. Like, we got our first car and it's pretty nice. You know, wife has to drive a nice car. It's got heated seats. It's got a sunroof, you know, it's got this really cool display, you know, it has a little gas tank, you know, so she can zip around town. It's kind of sporty in some respects, but in that, it's the first time I had a brand new car, right? So they have these cool things now called lane assist. I don't know if anyone knows this, and I'm not a huge car guy, but basically if that lane assist is on and I try to switch lanes, it kind of nudges me back to my lane. So what I'm wondering, Mary, yeah,
I can't
right?
stand it.
But what I'm wondering is if you could be a lane assist for someone, like if you could right now in your mind think, man, I would really love to coach, or I really could love to help somebody, who could you be that lane assist for? And and maybe who's that person in your mind that you would love to kind of maybe help nudge them back into their lane?
Well, you know, I speak to speakers. I speak to people who know they have a God-given message to share with the world. This is what I have to tell you, is that only you can deliver your message. You and I can have the exact same topic. We can have the exact same scripture reference. We can have similar stories. But what you're going to say and what I'm going to say is going to connect with people differently. So what I'm telling you is, speaker, if you are listening to me, don't sit on your gift, because right now God is equipping you to serve someone else. This isn't about you. And I think we sometimes get caught up in Christendom thinking that, oh, I'm just trying to make much of me. Well, God, maybe he's equipping you to serve somebody else. Just like with this podcast, this isn't about Neil. This is about how Neil serves the kingdom. So when you go out and talk about this podcast, and speaker, when you go out and talk about your message, you're serving the kingdom, because there's going to be somebody out there you're called to serve. And if you choose not to take that assignment, I hope you don't do that, but God will appoint somebody else to that assignment. For speakers, and really for anyone in the Christian world who feels called into any type of service, we worry that marketing is marketing ourselves and it's prideful. I really want us to change that way of thinking. You're not marketing yourself. You're marketing the message God has given you, and you're finding a place to share that message. So that's the thing. And that does two things. Number one, it gets you outside of your stuckness, and it helps you take one baby step. And it also focuses you on your lane, because you have your message, only you can give it. So it doesn't matter if sister or brother over here has the exact same one. Don't worry about that. That's not yours. Stay in your lane. I'm studying the life of Elijah right now. And Elijah was sent to Cherith right after he stood before, if you don't know the story, he stood before Ahab and said, there will be no rain until God says it. Ahab was a very bad king. He likely should have killed him, but God protected him, sent him to a place called Cherith, tiny little place, tiny little creek in a rocky place. And that he said, I'll keep you here and I'll provide for you. God's gonna provide for us. But Elijah had to do the hard work. And that's where I think we skip sometimes with believers. We go, I'm just going to sit here till God provides. No. He says, you got to go and do the hard work. So go do the hard work and stay in your own lane.
Fantastic stuff. Because again, I think we know it in our head. Okay, I'm supposed to stay in my lane. I'm supposed to find my lane. I'm supposed to, you know, cultivate my lane, my whatever, you know. But so many times, again, we get distracted because we look to the right, we look to the left of who's in the other lanes. You know, I used to be a track runner. I was never a sprinter, but I was friends with sprinters. And they were told, focus on the finish line. And don't look at anywhere else. You're locked in on that finish line. And I asked my friend one time who was a sprinter. I said, how hard is it to just stay focused on that and not look to the left or the right? And he goes, oh, man. He goes, it is so tempting to look to the left, to look to the right. It's not the same story. But imagine just for a second if you look to the left or you look to the right and all of a sudden you got assaulted.
You'll stumble. You
know? I mean, like,
yeah,
Lot's wife. And you will. I think you will. You'll stumble and fall, right? And so... so back to this, I want to talk about just the stage for a second, because I myself grew up in the church. I remember the first time being on a stage, probably roughly in sixth grade, so I'm probably about 12, somewhere in there, 11, 12 years old. I remember playing, ironically enough, Mary Had a Little Lamb in front of the whole church on my little trumpet. Thought I was pretty hot stuff. And I remember there was some applause, and I thought, man, that felt good. Kind of remembered that feeling. You know, and years later, I was in another like Christmas play and I was like the angel and the narrator of the story and people applauded. I'm like, man, that felt good. And, you know, as I grew and maturity, well, as I grew, maybe not in maturity, but as I grew, I also got opportunities, you know, in high school to speak at our local rescue mission, Medford Gospel Mission is what it's called, and got to like preach a little sermon there. And guys didn't want to be there because, you know, they just wanted to go to bed, but they had to be there as part of the, you know, agreement to stay the night. And I did have one guy come up to me afterwards and say, man, that was really good. That really spoke to me. And of course, that fed the ego. And as I grow, I then get into, you know, pastoral leadership, became a pastor at the church that I attended. And of course, I got opportunities when the pastor was out of town to preach, you know, got licensed and credentialed. And I was, speaking at youth group, you know, on Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, almost every week. And, you know, I was always speaking in front of people. And I just remember feeling just such a rush of being on the stage and having everyone listen to me and just so powerful. And then something crazy happened to me. I got in a stuck moment where I forfeited all of that. I took my eyes off of the finish line and I started looking to the left and looking to the right and I fell hard. And in hindsight, looking back on it, I really was in the worship of myself. I made myself the idol. God didn't become my worship, my heart of worship. He was kind of pushed to the side. And Neil, as weird as it sounds to talk third person in my own show, but I became the heart of worship. So Mary, is there a have you experienced maybe this personally with what I just described as you yourself became your worship of worship and you idolized yourself? Talk about that if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, I think every speaker who's ever stood on a platform has struggled with this. And if they said they hadn't, I don't think they're being truthful.
Are they lying? Would you say? I mean, not to go so bold, but would you say that?
I would say they aren't being truthful with themselves. So right, there you enough. Go.
We'll just leave that alone.
We're going to leave that there. Because here's what happens is you do fall in love with the adoration. It does feel good. And if you are not surrendering that moment to the Lord and making sure that you are face down before Him in whatever form or fashion that looks like in your life and in whatever time frame. I know some speakers that do it right before they get on the stage. I know some that do it before they arrive at the venue because they really want to pour out over the people that are there and they want to spend their time in that type of service. But if you step onto that platform and that stage in the fullness of you, you will eventually stumble and fall. I have witnessed it. I have done it and I have witnessed it. And I have seen people go from really impactful and effective to God just removing their ministries from them. And I've also seen people stay in it. Know this, all you have to do is take a cursory glance around Christendom to find the person who stumbled and fell. But I want you to pause for a moment and say, how would I have reacted if I had thousands upon thousands of people that literally hung on my every word? So before we cast any stones at them, I just want to remind you that it is a calling to be on a platform and to be known is different than a calling to speak. A lot of people are called to speak and they never become very famous, but it's their full-time career. But you may not know their name. They may be known in small circles. And there are other people that are called to a much larger and more public platform. Those people, I have walked beside some of them, and I will tell you, it is not a calling that is for the faint of heart. To whom much is given, much is required.
I think that is so powerful to remember. Because like you said, there are so many people around who aspire to be on the stage. But I know for me, the big thing I aspired to do is I wanted the praise. I was in love with the feeling more than I was in love with the people. So have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been so in love again with Mary that you haven't loved the people?
Of course. Of course. There was a season in my life when I just thought I was all that in a bag of chips. And God humbled me. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't getting a lot of speaking engagements, but the few that I got were so bad that I didn't even ask. I didn't even do a follow-up call because I knew how bad they were. But I thought I had my act all together. I thought I got this. I'm a natural entertainer. I'll throw some scripture on this and we're good to go. And I did that about three times in over the course of just a few months. And at that point, I just stopped. I was like, okay, apparently this is not what I'm called to do. And God redirected my heart. And He reminded me that I've called you to this. And we can do this one of two ways. You can do it my way, or you can do it not at all. And I chose to do it His way. And I will be honest with you, as a speaker, I spoke for many years, but then I shifted into being beside the stage, producing, and then booking, where I'm actually the person that creates the events and puts people onto it. I still speak professionally, very rarely, less probably less than six times a year, because the bulk of what I do now is I serve other speakers. If you'd have told me this 15 years ago, Neil, I would have laughed at you, because I thought, oh, I love the stage. I do love the stage, but I love serving the people that God has called to the stage. It's why I walked the last 20 plus years. It's why I had the opportunity. It's why I have gotten to be involved with some of the most incredible events, and not only met the people, but became close to them. There's a reason God does everything in his economy. For somebody to have both speaking experience and event planning experience is pretty unusual in this world, in this Christian entertainment world. When I sat back and realized, okay, this is my unique calling, this is where God's going to use me, it was an eye opener for me.
Again, there's just this attraction. You know, I know I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I think guys in general are more visually driven. We just are. There's studies statistics if someone wants to challenge me on that, but I believe we are. And so again, I think guys struggle with the idea of, I have to be up front, I have to be on the stage, I have to do all that. And so I think what you're saying is just so profound and so really good. So there's this band out there, maybe you've heard of them, Switchfoot. You ever come across those guys in your Christian entertainment?
I might have heard of them.
By the way, to be clear on that, Mary calls it, and I love that you do that, by the way, so maybe we need to define that. So Mary calls anything that you buy a ticket to as entertainment. So whether you slap it on whatever it is,
yes,
it's entertainment. So she's just saying Christian entertainment, because undoubtedly these bands that you go and see at these festivals or whatever, or concerts or whatever they may be, you're buying a ticket to go see them. So it is still entertainment. So just to be clear on that, I wanted to help with that verbiage there. But Switchfoot covered a song a while back, which I found out that they covered. I thought it was their original song. I gave them credit for it, and somebody was like, hey, they covered that, Neil, just so you know. So I'm like, okay. So they have this line in one of their songs. It says, how many likes is my life worth? That lyric alone has just, it's haunted me. How many likes is my life worth? So, Mary, I'm going to ask you this question. How many likes do you think your life is worth?
It's just one. The only one that matters is my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's going to sound like a really pat answer, but if I don't focus on him. Now, do I get excited when I get a lot of likes on something? Absolutely. I am human. I want my husband to like me. I mean, I want my kids to like me. But what matters, the only one that matters, is that I am walking in the full accord and the fullness of who God's called me to be, because he is uniquely equipped every single one of us for this day and time. And I will tell you, he looked down at me when he said there's going to be COVID-19 and kids were not going to go to school. And he said, that one right there, she could not have any grade school children. She could barely get them through school when they could go to school. We're going to need to postpone that COVID thing, y'all. He was in a meeting. He said, okay, team, we're going to hit this pandemic, but that one, let her get her children grown. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. It really, listen, I don't do words for the year because I tend to forget them. Somebody suggested I have a word, you know, I decided it could be bacon would be my word this year. That's a good word. Because everything's better with bacon.
I mean, it is sizzle. It does sizzle when you say
And it's bacon.
It's very sizzly.
Topic for the year is focus. And it's focused strictly on, what does he have me to do? We have a friend, you and I have a friend, Tim Wenders. He uses the word assignment, and I've adopted that. So every morning when I get up in my quiet time, I say, Lord, what's my assignment today? Who am I serving, and how am I to serve them? And that's an ongoing conversation. And that comes out of just years of messing up and serving myself and making much of me.
Why do you think speakers struggle so much with getting to the stage? Now, I know they sometimes struggle to get on, you know, once they're on the stage, it's usually they're kind of okay. They kind of, you know, they find their rhythm, they find their routine, whatever that may be. But why is it such a struggle to actually get to the stage, in your opinion?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first one is, you do not go to school to be, I'll use the term accountant. have an accountant in my family. You do not go to school. You go to school for 4 years. You get an accounting degree. You do it or 5 years, however long it takes you. No judgment here. My child took 8 years to be a wildlife biologist. Everybody does their own thing. But you go to school 4 or 5 years, get your degree. You're going to intern at some great accounting firm. Okay. You're going to do all that. And then you're going to go home and sit and wait for somebody to call you and say, hey, I heard you're an accountant. Do you want to work for me? That is what we do as speakers. My first question is, a lot of times we just say, I'm going to be a speaker. Okay, well, what have you done? Have you spoke at your church? Have you led Bible study? So you have to put the hard work in, and then you have to go out and essentially put your resume out there. The hard thing, and I never want to let people think this isn't hard. The hard thing is that you don't know who's hiring. So you just have to put it out everywhere. You have to let everyone know, this is who I am, and I'm available. And here is a clip of me speaking the message I'm going to bring your audience. And also, we have to remember that message is to serve people, not to serve us. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I do this. Okay, you're not going to pick up a guitar and learn about 3 chords and play it a little bit here and there and then step onto the stage and play with switch foot. Well, of course not, because number one, you're not equipped. So practice is essential for a speaker. It is essential that you practice, and record yourself, because you need to see what you look like and sound like.
That's really the key to anything, right?
Yes.
Is practice. I mean, we've all heard it said, right? Practice makes perfect. But there is something to be said about that, right? When we're constantly kind of communicating, working out material, working out new things, you know, we think of these guys like, you know, John Crisp or, you know, Trey Kennedy. Those guys are funny to me. Mary Snyder, she's pretty funny too. You know, but they're always, it seems like they just throw something up online and they're like, oh, man, that's great. They've probably been working on it and figuring it out for a while. It's not like a just run-of-the-mill kind of just thing. I mean, they planned, they've practiced, they've rehearsed it.
Yeah, they've refined it. They've taken probably what was something that was a little loose and they've honed it down and made it sharp, because particularly in comedy is very sharp. It has to be quick-witted and has to be fast. So same thing with speakers. You're going to take a big, broad message and you're going to keep narrowing it down and getting to where it is sharp, focused, clear, concise, and that it captivates the audience and holds their attention.
So I'm going to go back to the faith thing, or excuse me, the focus thing for a second. Your word of the year, you know, again, courtesy of Tim helping us with that. So thank you, Tim Winders at Seek, Go, and Create, good friend of ours. But I like acronyms. I think people know maybe acronyms, or maybe they know some. I was thinking about your word focus, and I thought maybe really an acronym to help kind of describe that would be somebody that needs to be faithful in the craft that they're doing, right? They need to be observant of that craft and really find it, learn it, understand it, right? And then of course they need to then make the choice to go and do it, right? And then with that choice comes with understanding, like, is this the right fit for me? Is my talk the right fit for this audience, right? Understanding the audience and really knowing who that is. And then of course, last but certainly not least, is to serve their audience. And to me, when I hear you say those things, I think you're encapsulating all really 5 of those attributes of a great speaker. So just wanted to maybe share that with you. So there you go.
It's good. I'll use it. I'll take it.
It's not trademarked. It's fine. I came up with that just kind of on the fly. So there we are.
There you go.
I want to go back to that car traffic jam moment when you got the call for the aneurysm. Help me with this. How many years ago was that?
4 years ago.
So in a 4-year time frame, Mary was 25 years old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It'll be 5 years. It'll be 5 years this, I had surgery in August. It'll be 5 years this July.
Okay. 5 years this July. So that's great. So mm-hmm. In 5 years ago, sitting in the traffic jam, jamming to, you know, I don't know, the Beach Boys or who knows what you were jamming to. I don't know. But would you have ever imagined where you are now? Would you have ever thought, I'm gonna be teaching people how to be speakers? I'm gonna be, you know, helping speakers get on the stage. I mean, would you ever have dreamed or thought of that?
No, and I'll be honest with you, that came out of COVID, because I work in the live event space, and March 13th of 2020, we canceled 42 shows in 48 hours. So I had just come off a tour with Annie F. Downs, and I was getting ready to go out on a tour, Jenny Allen and then Lisa Turkhurst. So I mean, we were two, three weeks out when all of this shut down. And that was what I did. It was my job. It was a lot of my identity. It was, I got kids sponsored for Compassion through live events. And all of a sudden, I'm at home. I can't travel. There are no live events. There are no ways for us in this, the model we used to get kids sponsored. We did pivot. We started working with virtual events and influencers and podcasters. And in that moment, I did my second podcast in April of 2020, called the Not So Official Podcast. And it was truly just me and a girlfriend talking about the shutdown. It was funny. It was irreverent. And then it just wasn't funny anymore. Because I was the optimist that said, we just need to get to May 1st and we are golden. We got this May 1st. It'll all be over. And then it wasn't. And so we did 10 episodes. That was my second podcast. And I just stopped. But I knew I loved the medium. So I asked the Lord, I said, I want to do this. I thought, oh, I have all these friends who are speakers. I'll just ask them to do my podcast. So I did. I talked to a few of them that are well-known in the podcasting space. They're like, yeah, great plan. Do it. Launched in October. I've been a speaker coach for years. I have been helping people craft their message, either personally on the side, in a professional capacity, or professionally in the job that I do. So it might be somebody that is within the Compassion family that I'm working with. I help speakers learn how to craft a message in socials. That's something that is a skill set of mine. So I've been doing the coaching for many, many years. To make it into a podcast that has a strategic focus was new, but it launched in October. So what are we, we're like 8 months in, 7 months in, and it's going great. It's, but I would have never guessed that I would take the stage and then Activate, which is my training program, because I saw what I saw in the group that I have on Facebook is that people wanted more. They wanted feedback. They wanted to get down and dirty. They wanted to know exactly how do I do this. And I took my private coaching and I created a program out of it. And that's what I'm doing.
See, and I think that people have knocked COVID for so long, and listen, I get it. People have died. People have.
Absolutely.
I've heard that. I don't know anybody personally that has died in my sphere of influence or sphere of people I know, but I know a very good friend of mine was hospitalized for a number of weeks, still suffers from it even to this day. You know, and the whole mask wearing thing doesn't help him any, by the way, because he has COPD.
COPD.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. There's a lot of letters in there that's still affecting him to this day. So I know COVID is real. I do. Not dismissing, you know, that in any way. Businesses right. have been shut down. Some of them have not even reopened again, you know, restaurants especially, you know, and but COVID did a lot of good things too. It kind of helped people get out of their shell. It kind of, mm-hmm. I mean, podcasting blew up because, you know, you're sitting at home, you got nothing else to do. You might as well sit mm-hmm. down in front of a microphone and talk about your feelings, you know? And so that's fun too, right?
So true.
But I mean, that happened. I mean, I know so many people and Anchor, you know, their numbers are probably through the roof. Anchor, if you don't know who they are, they're a free podcasting platform. Don't recommend them, but not being paid to say that, but just don't recommend them. But I'm wondering about this because you talk about things that we learned and things that you learned and how you had to pivot and how you had to, you know, shift. And by the way, she just name dropped a ton of people there. So if you don't know who she's talking about, you can Google those folks, but they're pretty important people, just for the record.
I didn't mean
it's
to.
Right. It's cool. I was like, we're sitting with Mary Schneider. She's a celebrity almost. You guys just don't know her yet because she's behind the scenes, not no. on the scene. So, or maybe, I don't know how that works, but what's one lesson for you that still, that you've learned that kind of still affects you to this day, do you feel like?
We don't know what tomorrow holds. We were so prideful as a people. And I think that's a very first world problem because I've traveled to the developing world and that's, they focus on the day. They literally work for the day. Get enough money today to feed me today, to feed my family today. I think we have to hold everything very loosely, because none of this happened, what's happened over the last 14 months or 15, 16 months now, didn't happen outside of God's economy. He knew this was coming and he allowed it. We do have friends that died of COVID. So I have been directly impacted by COVID. Literally it is, he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the lamp unto my feet. It is, and I know I'm just spouting scripture, but it's who I am. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord in all your heart. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Right there. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your ways. We've got to focus on him and the light in front of us today. Doesn't mean we don't make plans. It just means that we know those plans are subject to change at any moment. And I mean, I work in an industry that has been decimated. Think of all of the tour buses that sat still, and there are thousands of them that sat still for over a year. I'll never forget the day they all came home to Nashville, Tennessee, which is where we hub out of. It was just a line of them parked in a parking lot as they unloaded, everybody unloaded. I mean, there were probably 50 or 60 in the parking lot. And it's like a Kroger parking lot where everybody like goes and stages. But they all went home. All those people that worked on those, they didn't have work. All the hotels where they would have stayed along the road, they didn't have guests. It is such a cascading just impact. But now I also know a lot of those people shifted in different ways and now are doing different things. But the one thing I would go back to is just hold everything loosely. Trust God that he will have what you need for the day. It reminds me of the Israelites. He gave them just enough food for the day. So they had to trust him for what they would get tomorrow.
See, and I think that's just such a great perspective to remember, to think about. Like, we really only have today. And so with that, one of my favorite movies, I'm embarrassed to say this, but one of my favorite movies really is Cast Away. Tom Hanks on that island by himself, got the volleyball. Wilson, if you haven't seen that, yeah. I don't know how you haven't. You've been under a rock for way too long. You need to come out from that. But he has this line in the movie and it says, I knew what I had to do. I had to keep breathing. And tomorrow the sun will rise. And who knows what the tide will bring. And to me, that's so fascinating to remember, to keep breathing, to keep patient, to realize that your moment may come. It may be after COVID. It may be after whatever. So with that, I know you've probably been near this area. So I want to kind of close with this question. Brian Denny Stadium, you familiar with that in any way?
You've
heard of it. It's kind of in your neck of the woods. By the way, do you know the seating capacity of said stadium?
I don't. It's massive. It's
okay.
Massive.
It's all right. No, it's pretty big though, right? Okay. So they have according to Google here, they have a seating capacity of 100,077 people.
Wow. I had no idea it was that
big. So 100,077.
A lot of Alabama fans.
A lot of Roll Tide going on there. A lot of Roll Tide. By the way, it is not the biggest. Just want to put that out there. It is not the biggest. That title goes to our friends up north in the Mitten in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Really?
The big house, they call it. They have a seating capacity of 110,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of people, though. It's only like 10,000 roughly,
but
more.
Still,
it's fine.
If I had to guess, I would have said 60,000, and I would have thought that would be a little high.
No, they love their football here in Alabama. Well, you guys love your football down in Alabama.
We love our football.
So the reason why I'm asking this, Mary, is imagine just for a second, your 50-yard line, we have a stage for you. Maybe it's red. Maybe it's purple. I don't know. You could pick the color you want. The stage color doesn't necessarily matter. But if I hand you this microphone and I say to Mary, Mary, you have an opportunity right now to empower, to help focus, to help challenge, to help encourage. These are up-and-coming speakers. These are people who committed to saying, hey, I believe God's given me a message, or I believe in an entity. We'll just, you know, leave it as an entity because, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they're Christian in belief or whatever. I don't know if that changes your talk at all, but I give you an opportunity to talk to people from all walks of life, from somebody from who's in their teenage years, who's saying, man, I feel like I'm being led in this path, this lane that we talked about earlier, to somebody even, you know, who's your young age of 25 and older, we'll say like my grandma's age, you know, who's like in her 60s, who feels like, you know, I still have something to give. I still have some wealth of knowledge and a wealth of wisdom to offer. Even at my age, I still want to have that opportunity. What would you say to this crowd of 100,077 people?
Well, first of all, roll Tide. And I would not say
they're not all from Alabama.
I would not say that. And I said it earlier. If you are called to speak, if you have a message, either you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what that message is, like I do. I know what my message is, or you just know there is one bubbling up in your spirit. You can feel it. You know it's coming. You know you're being called to that type of ministry, type of service. Remember this. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take determination. It's going to take practice. But never forget, you are the only person that can deliver that message. There is no one else like you. You and I can say the exact same words with the same stories. You will connect with some people and I will connect with others. If you choose not to share your message, you are depriving the world of what you could have brought them. Don't deprive the world.
That's fantastic. I lied. I want one more question. So I want you to jump in the DeLorean with me.
Oh, I love the DeLorean.
Yeah. We're not going to 85 though. We're going to go back further. We're going to go back to, and I don't even know what year it is because we're not going to ask, but let's go back to Mary in middle school, whatever year that was.
Okay.
You in your mind go there because I'm not asking and we're not going to announce, but you go back to Mary in middle school. You somehow get to see her on the playground or, you know, maybe in between, you know, study hall and math class, or maybe language arts and history, whatever it may be. And you get to talk to that young Mary about life, about marriage, about whatever it may be. What advice would you give that young Mary who maybe had a little lamb? Sorry, I had to put that in there.
She might have had one. Trust yourself. Trust who God's created you to be. Don't look to other people for affirmation. Look where you know you will find it. Look to God for your affirmation. And you know what? Slow down. Life is going to come at you so fast. And middle school Mary was ready to be grown. Enjoy life. Before you know it, you're going to blink and you're going to be a grandmother. But it's going to be a fun ride. Enjoy every step of the way.
Do you think that Mary would listen?
Oh, gosh, no. She never listened to anybody. Lord, no. No, she never listened to anybody. She got in trouble all the time because she couldn't keep her mouth shut and she never listened.
She was always trying to take the stage, maybe. I don't know. Sorry.
She's a little bossy. I'm just going to be honest with you. Right. She's a little bossy. Right.
So, Mary, we like to end our show with a game that we like to call Senseless. But before we do, if somebody is hearing you right now and they're an aspiring speaker, if they're an aspiring communicator, I don't know. Is it the same thing, speaker, communicator? Okay.
It is.
I don't know if I was saying like tomato, tomato kind of thing. I felt like I was. But if someone's aspiring to be on that stage for all the right reasons, right? Not to be, you know, with negative emotions in mind or, you know, the next, timeshare presentation person. But hey, even those guys and gals are on a stage. So, I mean, maybe they are. Who knows?
Yeah.
Not judging. But if somebody's hearing you right now and they're like, man, I I don't know why, but all of a sudden everything she was saying was like things I needed to hear and I want to hear more. How can someone go about and do that?
Well, there are so many ways. I have a podcast called Take the Stage, and you can go to takethestagepodcast.com and find out more about me. Look at past episodes. You can sign up for my email list. And then I also have a Facebook group, and it is Take the Stage Speakers on Facebook. And I promise it's nice people. And if they're, and I've never had a not nice one, but if there's ever a not nice one, we will make them leave or make them silent. But it's a nice group. We do good things. We have fun. Hopefully I challenge you and push you forward and help you set goals to move the needle forward. But you can find out all about me, and there's Activate Your Speaking. You can find out about that over there too.
Fantastic. So if somebody wants to activate their speaking career, they can go and do that.
They can do that in all of those places right there at that takethestagepodcast.com. You'll see a whole tab that tells you all about Activate Your Speaking Career and what that means to you. It's a lot of training, and you're going to work hard, but it's going to be worth it in the end, because in the end, you're going to have the tools, the knowledge, and the resources that will get you booked.
So is there a bumper sticker that says I survived Activate with Mary Snyder yet?
Not yet, but I really am serious.
I really think you should. I was citizen of the month at Mary Snyder's Activate class for something. I don't know. All right. So here we go, Mary. You know this, I think, because we've hung out long enough that you know I'm a big Tar Heels fan. So no Alabama Roll Tide Cup here, but you're in Alabama still. You haven't come out to Oregon just yet, but I'm going to roll on your behalf if you're okay with that.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Here we go. So I'm going to roll. Here we go. It's going to be awesome. Ooh, I love this question. It doesn't come up very often. That is, of course, what number, Mary? Help me with that.
Number two.
Just to, again, take the naysayers away from me saying I'm cheating. So here we go. Number two is this. Who is touching your life right now?
Who is touching my life? I'm glad you said my life, because if it was just who is touching me, that would be uncomfortable.
That would maybe be an HR issue.
Since I work from home, that would be a weird HR issue. But who is touching my life right now? I'm just going to be honest and tell you, it is Priscilla Shire's Bible study, Elijah. It is just wrecking me in the best sort of way.
That's fantastic. We had our friend Sean McCoy on too, a number of months back, and I think almost even a year ago now, and he got this same question, and he said I was like uncomfortable in that moment. Like, he's like,
oh, well, now I feel bad. I should have said
no, you're fine. I'm not saying that for you to say that. But he was like, you know, in his Sean McCoy voice, well Neil, you're kind of touching my life right now, bro, you know. And I was just like, it's the first time somebody has ever said that. And it was very gravelly. Yeah, but in a good gravelly
voice. It's a gravelly voice.
So, Mary, you're absolutely fantastic. I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
And I just really want you to know that people really need to go and listen to you, not because I'm telling them to, but really, I think because you have a lot of wisdom and insight.
Thank you.
And the thing I would, I guess, want to know, maybe from a road inside kind of standpoint, is there a band or a group that you really love maybe more than another? Are you allowed to say that?
I actually really like, there's a few that I like, but I really like We Are They. I really like that band. And another one I like is Skillet, because I love rock, and I think rock, and this is a Christian's band. Now, if you talk about bands like we're going to go way back, I'm like a Journey girl. I'm a Chicago girl. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go way back. But yeah, that's my jam. We had the best music in the 70s and the 80s. I'm an 80s kid, but I listen to 70s music.
I just want to tell you, I mean, you've just been an inspiration today.
Thank you.
And I really hate to see you go.
Well, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Because I really feel like you're taking away the greatest part of me. If you don't know, that's a line from Chicago.
It is in one of my favorite songs. But my favorite song is the, what is it, 24, 5 and 6 to go or something, whatever that one is. I'm sure I
just don't know. I just have to look away right now because I can't see you go. Look away.
Okay.
Look away. If we meet on the street someday and I don't know what to say, just look away.
Look away.
Again, the Chicago song that I grew up around. Anyway, Mary, thank you so much for coming on. Just want to say thank you so much again. Guys, if you're not sure how to find Mary again, maryrsnyder.com. And so anyway, go check her out right now. And let me just leave you with one final thought. And that final thought is this. In your life, whether you like this or not, you're on a stage. You're on a stage with your kids. You're on a stage with your wife. You're on a stage with your husband. You're on a stage with your coworkers. You're on a stage when you're driving in your car, switching lanes back and forth, flipping people off, maybe yelling at them. Yeah, you're on that stage too sometimes. Hopefully you're not. But I want to ask you this question. What message are you going to leave that audience when you're on that stage? What lasting impact and lasting legacy will you leave? Mary talks about that moment in her life that rocked her to the core, that questioned her mortality. And don't let that be the moment that maybe is your catalyst to change, but maybe it needs to be. So I'm going to ask you this question as we leave here today. What stage do you need to be on? And have you really refined and fine-tuned that message? Because if you haven't, my best friend and really good friend, Mary Snyder, is able to help you. And I just want to leave you with that. Just think about the stages that you're on and think about how you can be and give the best message possible. So let that be just kind of something to think about today as we close out. And of course, remember this. Remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned till next week when we walk in other people's shoes.